you can't get enough traction to be productive enough to have it be profitable. And usually something like this comes along or kicks in right around the time that you figure out you're making a certain amount of income, but you can't really move yourself to the next level. And really the only way to do it is to hire somebody. But it's a chicken egg problem that most people have in any business, really. I need to get somebody, but I can't get off the habit trail. I can't get off the wheel in order to do this part over here. So what our hope and our design was to be able to provide a couple of models or different solution options that is, okay, let's get some of this stuff out of your way straight away, right? We can get that done in a 4-week window. If you're committed to doing that, then you also have access to the rest of the content that is in the DIY program. So we too are trying to figure out how to tool this so that it works really well.
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green. Please stay tuned to the end of the episode to hear boring yet important disclosures. Thank you.
Hi, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast, and I have two special guests on the show today. I have Julian Hepburn and Mimi Klosterman, the co-founders of Financial VA. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
This has been a great theme for last month. This recording is just a week prior to Thanksgiving, but everyone should be listening to this the day after Thanksgiving. It is my favorite holiday, and boy, have I learned to appreciate gratitude. And it's my favorite holiday because it's just a pure day of gratitude for a day of gluttony for me, of overeating and turkey and hanging out with a family. And I just thought this would be a great theme for this month, of just having the people who've been great have really had a huge impact on, and it's not really big tweaks, but these little tweaks have found impacts. And I was part of the Financial VA program. Time has folded. I can't remember if it was through last year or the year prior, but prior to bringing on Financial VA, the longest I had an assistant last at my company was, I think, a whopping, I don't even think it made it 9 months before. As I looked in the mirror and I saw the problem. And so I think I came in to Julianne and Mimi saying, please. When I learned about it, I was like, hey, can you solve my problem? And sure enough, everything they share with me, I didn't necessarily like hearing at first. And we'll probably have a discussion about that. But I can say over a year anniversary now for my awesome assistant, and I definitely contribute what I learned and implemented. Not that I implemented it willingly. I definitely had some private coaching once a week for Julianne for about 6 months of handholding, telling me to get out of my own way, essentially. But thank you for coming on. And I guess, Julianne, I'll start with you. If you just talk about a little bit of your background, and Mimi, you can jump in anytime as you want as well in this discussion. But what, yeah, talk about your background and why you and Mimi decided to create Financial VA. And I think a lot of the listeners of the show, there's a fair amount of financial advisors and insurance agents that listen. I think they'll learn a lot from this discussion. So
that's fantastic. Again, thanks for having us. Me, I have been in the business for about 30 years, and I found myself in exactly the same place as you, Ken, that I got so tired of repeating myself. And it became an impetus, and I started working with Mimi directly about creating my own personal way to more efficiently onboard someone. So if you're working alone and you've been in this business for over 5 years, you definitely know what you don't want to do and what you're terrible at. And one of the things that I found myself doing is just pulling myself out of what I'm supposed to be really spending myself doing, and which is being with and serving my clients and meeting with them. And the amount of time that I would sit there and wait for an assistant to get the hang of what it was that I was trying to get them to do. They want to do a good job for you. But as you said, Ken, so eloquently, and I use all the time with people, you're just simply setting them up for failure if you don't have an onboarding process with procedures or SOP, standard operating procedures. I was doing this probably for the last, I think it's been 12 years now. And then a colleague of ours brought it to our attention and asked us, please figure out a way to make what you have developed in your own practice available to other advisors. And that's exactly what we ended up doing. That's where financialva.com came from.
Was solving that problem. I can tell you my onboarding process, mm-hmm. Julianne, was read my mind.
Yeah.
And as my ultimate business partner, my wife pointed out to me years ago, most people don't think like you can. Most people don't process things like you can, and most people have no idea what your expectations are. And so I would just assume everyone just knew what my brain was thinking. And how insane is that? But it's just great when you have someone from the sidelines point out what you're completely blind to. And having an onboarding process and having in writing and the way you guys laid it out. Of course, always one of my favorite books is Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And when you read it, it's all, that all makes sense. That's all common sense. That's all pretty simple. Yet it takes someone showing from the sidelines. This is how you lay it out. And so what I really liked what you and Mimi put together was a nice, it all makes sense, doesn't it? Of course, you're telling me how to go create an outline, and I don't want to do that.
You know, what's funny, Ken, with what you're saying, I actually, having figured out why I'm here, my purpose being to eradicate the sense of incapability to really help people move forward, and that was something I could actually embrace and bring to other advisors in this space, because they all have experienced the same thing you did, tripping over the starting blocks or the finish line.
Yeah, I could tell you, if you can, Mimi, I know Mimi likes to hide in the corner, but she's on the podcast, so she's going to have to talk now. But I can tell you what I really enjoy is just, I'll tell you some of the big key takeaways for me, other than having a layout, having processes laid out, having it in writing, but also beginning with doing a recording. And it was something I was trying to implement in the past, is doing a recording, but then having you guys verify it, what a powerful tool that can be. And then also having your assistant or your virtual assistant come in, do these recordings, then type out the standard operating procedures or your policy manual. But I really liked the whole approach of how you guys took it, and from a very understanding what the company is about, not just immediately going into the details, but the why, what the company stands for, how you want to serve who you represent. And I think that was really nice, really narrowing on that first and then breaking it down to all the important minutia. All right. So Mimi, you have to say hi now and talk.
Okay. So I'll tell you a little bit about my background. So I started off as a virtual assistant, it's about 13 years ago. And then at some point, I would say halfway through that career, I transitioned over to an online business manager. So now, instead of doing the work, I started more managing the team, handling all the campaigns on the marketing side, and then even, I guess, implementing the processes and streamlining what they're doing and then documenting everything. And so I think that was my superpower, you could say, but I think part of that is because I had 8 kids, so I was forced to be organized and then also homeschooling them while I was doing some of my business stuff too. So I think that had started me doing the SOPs, because I even do that in our family household too. So our kids have SOPs that they follow for chores and things like that.
I got 3 brothers, so I can't imagine. I got 3 brothers, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, your poor mom. Which, I have 1 son, and I understand what that meant. And 1 daughter, 1 son, and I understand what it means now. I was like, I get why they said poor mom. But I remember when I was a kid, maybe this what started my aversion against checklists and outlines, is we had this punch list my mom would put up, and she's an MBA and accountant, of all the things we had to do for our chores. And boy, did I hate that punch list. But it was very clear our metrics. You get the punch list done, and she's a happy camper. And you don't miss things, right? It's right there. It's very clear, the expectations. The financial VA, if you can describe a little bit, I'll share it. I'll say, can you describe the focuses? Because there's dual, it's one side is for advisors. Hey, this is training for the advisor. And then there's a training component for how to be a great virtual assistant. And I think it's nice that you have that set up so they work in synergy and educating people on both sides of how to move the ball forward efficiently. And as you point out, Julianne, earlier, so we don't have to repeat ourselves. Just go to the book.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we train the VAs to basically whatever you want to train them in, record that and follow that as part of the procedures, and then maintain any of those things. Like if any of the process changes, then they go ahead and update that, whether it's video or documentation or anything like that. They are the ones now to maintain that for you.
I really liked all the videos that are done, all the written stuff, example contracts, just the ball rolling. And I remember you really being forceful with me, Julianne, a couple years ago about adhering to, and not to be a pushover, because I have a huge heart. And I remember prior to my permanent assistant I have now, a virtual assistant, I think was just absolutely taking advantage of me. And you called BS on it immediately. And on that hand holding, boy, did you prevent me being more and more of a sucker. Thank goodness.
Yeah, that piece comes into play more often the more we onboard and serve other advisors. It's funny because probably the best example of it is we have a couple of different offerings now. One is more DIY, which is what you experienced, but you did it with it like being a member of a gym. Like you bought the membership, but if you really want to do well, you get a personal trainer, and that's what you did. So that's where the coaching came in with me, which was a separate engagement. But we've also developed it so that there's a do for you, do with you program as well. And that was something we learned from people like you that actually helped us retool. Because as much as you resisted, as much as you hated it, boy, you were just singing praises, and so was your assistant afterward about, you know, what when you finally got it in place, and boy, what a difference it's made. But it's really hard as rugged individualists, like many advisors are, you just don't have the bandwidth. So it's a real commitment to try and get it done. But as you said, you end up not having to repeat yourself so much because you get it, you do it once, right? So it's something you're doing repetitively all the time. But if you just get it once, get it recorded, but you're absolutely right.
So that's a good foundation. Now, I wish it was just once. I can tell you we get it in play. And then the investment companies or life insurance companies update their procedures. So then maybe we do it twice, but having that foundation and understanding some of the logic. And it was really nice. My assistant, she was out for a little bit this summer, just a medical leave for elective surgery, and all these notes that she meticulously, because she owned it, it's mm-hmm. laid it out. This is how we deal with this insurance company. This is how we deal with this insurance company. And they all play the game a little. They're very similar in many ways, and they also have their little sweet spots and minutiae on how they process things, between loans on policies to automatic withdrawals to some are okay with this type of client for underwriting, some aren't. But having all this meticulous paperwork that I could go straight to when she was gone, it's right there. I didn't have to reinvent the wheel. And Vice versa, if there was an update that occurred while she was gone, I could put those updates in. And it's right there in this common journal that's a collaborative, and we're not wasting time redoing the thing over and over, not just repeating ourselves, but repeating the same questions for the same thing we already should have known. But having it in one well-documented has been very helpful. And so I would say quite often we don't go to any videos anymore unless it's something new. But then we do a quick video, it's there, it can be documented, and then we move forward. Not that there's not still more work to do. It is seems like an evolving process, but boy, has it helped a lot.
To that point, Ken, that's something Mimi insisted on. That's something that she pressed a lot, that it's the fact that, listen, now that you have an assistant, as things change, but here's what's more important. At some point, Ken, you're probably going to need yet another assistant.
Right.
Or as we all well know, they don't stick around forever. I have some lovely ones that are still good friends and clients of mine, but they no longer work for me. And 2 weeks is nowhere near enough time to get somebody else trained and onboarded.
Oh, yeah. It's true. And I don't know if you heard me holding my breath behind the mic. It's like when you said bring on yet another one.
Now that you're streamlined and everything, you got everything going, now you can take on more clients, right? So well, then how do you do that? The systems you have in place will allow you to do that, allow you to scale your business.
And a lot of things you guys go through too, which maybe I can have you expand on, different profiling of who you're hiring. Everyone has different skill sets. And when you bring on different virtual assistants or assistant that's an employee, or even different vendors, essentially, right? They all have different areas that they excel at. A person could be phenomenal at paperwork, right? Applications, life insurance applications, disability insurance applications. Another can be phenomenal at running the office or events or sending out packages, that kind of follow through. And you start narrowing down to those skill sets, things that they love, they accelerate. And it's been fun. I know exactly what repels me. I know exactly what gets me excited. I relax when I'm playing with calculators and math and looking at the stock markets. I would argue my assistant relaxes by putting together hats and gift packages for listeners of the show, putting together t-shirts, organizing all the documents, shredding documents, all that stuff, which I have no tolerance for, she absolutely loves. And so it's so nice that you get those kind of relationships in play, but then you have really good metrics and documentation, videos that point people to one common hub that can be collaborative. Now you're starting to create a very efficient machine and not this broken record of hiring a new assistant. Now I'm looking at myself in the camera, right? Like I'm looking in the mirror. Hiring a new assistant every year because you just freaking blew them out. Mm. Joys of being an entrepreneur, and Julianne, you've been in this industry for 30 years. We're like a psycho. I was, maybe not you, but I was a psycho, still am a little bit, boss to myself. I had unrealistic expectations of my employee, which is me, working nonstop. So I'm incredibly demanding on myself, working weekends, working night, dreams, nightmares, whatever you want to call it. It's just you're constantly have that machine going. And until you can start documenting, putting in paper and putting in video and start outsourcing that to your internal team and virtual, you're killing the whole reason why you became an entrepreneur. You just created yourself a job and a hell.
Yeah. And it can quickly become a hobby because you can't get enough traction to be productive enough to have it be profitable. And usually something like this comes along or kicks in right around the time that you figure out, you're making a certain amount of income, but you can't really move yourself to the next level. And really the only way to do it is to hire somebody. But it's a chicken egg problem that most people have in any business, really. I need to get somebody, but I can't get off the habit trail. I can't get off the wheel in order to do this part over here. So what our hope and our design was to be able to provide a couple of models or different solution options that is, okay, let's get some of this stuff out of your way straight away, right? So one of the offerings is so that it's do for you, do with you. If you got 4 weeks and you just need to get the applications off your desk or new business processing off your desk, we can get that done in a 4-week window. If you're committed to doing that, then you also have access to the rest of the content that is in the DIY program. So we too are trying to figure out how to tool this so that it works really well. Mimi, why don't you share more on that?
Yeah. So this 4-week service that we're providing is basically meeting with you and then helping you record your videos, because some of the struggles that the advisors and other business owners have is taking that time, right? Ken, like you had to schedule that time, make sure you recorded everything that you're doing. And so some of our advisors were struggling with that. And so we said, okay, we'll do that with you. We'll meet with you at a certain day and time and do that, get that done. So that's what we're trying to resolve.
Oh, that's a little tweaking, because I don't remember that existing for me at that moment.
Yeah, you were one of the ones that were like, oh, we're going to, you know, what if other advisors have that same problem? How can we help them? So yeah, we're meeting the needs of our advisors.
No, I think that's a great way to help cover that potential gap. So that's nice evolution.
What got you to buckle down and get those recordings done?
What got me to?
Or to pain. Pull the trigger in general to do this.
Yeah. Pain. 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 It's like, I don't know, like you're very rarely do I stay in my bed too long, but you're laying in I love Airbnbs, right? And VRBO or however they call themselves now, Vrbo. But when you travel, it's quite often, I just love to stay at the Marriott Hotel. I should get all these plugs for these people or money for throwing out their names. But one thing I love about the consistency, every time I go travel and I stay at the Marriott Hotel, I always know I'm going to get this like incredibly comfortable bed, right? It's always going to be great. And then when you Airbnb, you might have this beautiful view, nice home, and typically they always seem like it's a crappy bed. And my point with this with pain is I'll be laying in that crappy bed because it's such a beautiful view, and the pain's just not that bad yet. It doesn't hurt my back that bad. I just lay there to the point it becomes intolerable, and then I finally roll over or finally get out of bed. And so I think what inspired me to get the videos going and do the documentation is, A, because I was getting the additional hand-holding from Julianne, like maybe a nice and respectful way, Julianne. Mimi's very calm, very patient. And then
I'm very intense. And then there's Julianne.
And then, and then you got Julianne, who is, she's a bully and intimidating.
She's the bad cop. I'm the good cop.
Yes, exactly.
You just don't want to hear it. You'd rather just, if one pain's lesser than the other, should just get it done because you just know you're going to get an earful. And so I think that's what was inspiring was pain. I came and was interested in the program and then joined because I didn't want that pain anymore. If I got to the point, dude, I cannot keep doing this. When you bring on a new member of the team, initially they're an opportunity cost, they're an expense, and you're going to lose money. I would argue the sooner you can turn them into the reason why you're hiring employees, because the reality is you believe in them 100%. You're trusting them. That's why you're hiring them. Quite at first, that might not be the other way around. Quite often we trust our employees we're bringing on more than the employee trusts their boss. And so the point on that is that you're putting out a lot of money as an employer or hiring that VA virtual assistant. So that kind of money, that ramping up, your intention though is that they're going to go from a cost to an investment. And the sooner you can turn them into investment, which then finally frees you up. And so the biggest resistance for me, Mimi, was just, I knew the time, which you talked about a little bit earlier, Julianne, is like, yeah, you're going to have to spend more time and it will feel like it's just easier to do it yourself. But you stay in that kind of treadmill, you're never going to break through. When you finally learn to let go, when you finally learn to delegate, I remember when I worked at the telephone company, I think I was the youngest outside plant manager at the time. I was like 22. And the biggest thing I struggled, I had 40 plus something projects going on as a project manager. And my biggest struggle when I wanted training on was, how do I delegate? I wanted to hold on to everything. I didn't know how to let go. But once you let go and you find yourself with someone who's going to be equivalent or ideally way better at that skill set, now is when you start having these breakthroughs. Now you get to focus on doing right. We're meant to, as financial advisors, Julianne, be in front of our ideal clients, right? We're supposed to be there solving problems and serving them and representing them, not filing paperwork. Not our skill set, and that's not our calling. But there's other people that absolutely love it.
You know what's crazy? That's the weirdest thing. I always tell advisors when I'm first having the kind of right fit, let's see if it's a, see if, you know, which direction makes the most sense, is literally that. It's, here's what's going to sound bonkers to every single advisor out there, is the fact that, or every business owner, that there are people out there, and you're looking at one right now in Mimi, is the fact that there are people out there who dig doing that stuff. I'd rather take a sharp object to my eyeball than to do most of that stuff. It's unbelievable. I hate it so much. Mm-hmm. So that's why the whip cracking is, because look, we just have to get through this. I promise you, you'll be over this soon.
Yeah, rip the Band-Aid off, right? It just feels like it's a slow rip of the Band-Aid. But once you grow up and rip that Band-Aid off, that's when you can have the big breakthroughs. And on the DIY type setup, if I remember right, there's like module one, module two, and module three. And so you can kind of a triage perspective. It's like, hey, this is the most important place to start first. Get this nailed down, then get this nailed down, then get this nailed down. And so you have it work in that order. Is that a good way to describe it?
Yep. I like the fact too that Julianne can help with the advisors. I can help with their VAs, and we can help each other out that way. Because sometimes the VAs might have some complaints about their advisor, like, how do I get them to do this or that and help them?
That's a great point.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, John.
No, I was saying, what could she possibly mean, Ken?
I want to support the virtual assistants, right? So I know how they feel.
Yeah. But yeah, you absolutely know exactly what an assistant's going through and a virtual assistant's going through, because you're dealing with Julianne's and me on the other side. And so there's empathy. And then, but understanding both worlds and how to bridge that gap and then walk people through it. Yeah, very helpful. It was very helpful for me. And is any other things you want to lay out of who would be potentially an ideal candidate for your program? Any pain points people are having and what you have done either on the DIY side, how you've modified things, or on the advisor side, or on a virtual assistant side? Can you talk about how you guys could, what would be an ideal client for you guys and how you could be an ideal solution for them? Does that question make sense?
Oh, okay. Julianne, in terms of the advisors, like experience-wise, what do you want to say for that?
I'd say people who are typically in the business 3 to 5 years or more, they've hit a plateau of revenue. From my experience there, look, this is the hardest business in the world to make $50,000, but it's one of the easier to make over $100,000. So generally, people are hitting somewhere in that range, and now it's time to actually move to the next level. That amount of time, and whether they have someone in their office or they don't have someone in their office, this is something that Ken firsthand actually has had his assistants. He used the system, and this is a physical assistant that he's got in his office, not even virtual. Doesn't mean that he can't, now that he's got the SOPs in place, that he can't actually add an additional one for some of those other tasks, that type of thing. And you don't have to have one. One of the other things that I noticed in this business long ago is that you want to find somebody who is capable of doing all of one person, one human being, who's capable of doing all of the tasks. And something that Mimi, I want you to touch on is the fact that this industry, and a lot of this is crossover to other business owners. Uh-huh. It's completely, it is very easy, and I do it with other business clients that I coach, is that this has a, what's the word I'm looking for? Transitory. It has a good application in really any business model, because these are really what every business owner needs to have in place in their business, particularly if they're a service provider of some sort.
Yeah. On the VA side, one of the myths is, oh, I'll just hire a VA that does all these things. And we're like, no, in our industry, it's like, I like to just focus on this. I love to do this. So you might end up having to hire multiple team members, one that does the marketing, one does the back end, the service work type kind of things. That's something that you'll have to look at when you want to scale and add another team members. What else do you need in your business?
And it doesn't mean that they're all full time.
Right.
That's one of the things. So one of the things that is fascinating for some people, and it's a switch that gets flipped, is the fact that, first of all, you could have five, if somebody asked you what your staff is, you got five people, six including yourself, but maybe they're all doing, a couple are doing 4 hours a week, some are doing 2 hours a week. If you got somebody who's good at doing data entry and they want to do it from 1 to 2 in the morning, fantastic, but that is not the person, and nor would they want to be, on the phone talking to your clients. So it's exactly that. It's divide and conquer and have them do the specific. And the other piece of this, which was something that I found fascinating, was the fact that we often look at the relationship as a subordinate and boss relationship. What's interesting when you get into the virtual space is that they are business owners. These virtual assistants are business owners. And you're only one of their clients in most cases, because you probably aren't having them work full 40-hour week. And so the relationship shifts considerably, because they really want to do well for you because you're their client, not their boss.
Great point you bring up is when you're dealing with virtual assistants, you're their client. And mm-hmm. so when you have that business owner mentality, there's a lot more ownership right off the bat. Mm-hmm. This additional desire to knock it out of the park and serve and be extraordinary. So complacency, there's way less options for complacency when you're a business owner. So I think that's a great point.
And I think when Julian and I are just working with the advisors, we found out we can also apply it in other industries. That's what we're looking at too, is helping other business owners, not necessarily financial advisors, but helping others out too.
Well, I think the joy of the VA side, what I've seen, and I've been a virtual assistant, but I can see the attraction. Say someone wants to be part-time role. It's like they're working at home, they're helping raise children, but here's this gap where I can really create something productive, create an additional income stream that supplements maybe a spouse's income stream, and that creates joy. It's something you're productive at. And so it really can fit where, you know, and you see it more and more because of this last few years with COVID, et cetera, a lot of people don't want to work 40 hours a week anymore. And I'm just craving to work 40 hours a week.
And now that you mentioned that, Ken, funny enough, we actually have a whole other program where it's a training program for virtual assistants. So if they are somebody who's interested in becoming somebody who's working in the virtual assistant world, and even kids, young people, this is something that they can, Mimi, I want you to jump in because both of these are sort of in your wheelhouse.
In terms of your assistant? You talk about
my assistant or assistants, but also the fact that the training program, because that's...
Yeah, we started off wanting to help the advisors, and then Julianne ended up being my daughter, the first one at first, because she was also looking for work. And then that's how I connected them together, because I have been training her as a semi-virtual assistant working for my company. And then when I met Julianne, I was like, oh, she's looking for an assistant too. So then connected them together, and then she started working for Julianne, and that's where they started now writing down procedures, recording videos and things like that. And so she had actually helped us put this training together for virtual assistants. So now we're going through some training for other potential.
Seeing part of that virtual assistant program, because I saw some of those contracts, it really is in many ways turnkey, right? Program and the teaching you give. It's like, hey, here's a good example of a contract that you're going to send your clients to be a virtual assistant. Uh-huh. Here are things to watch out for. Here's things that you're going to want to have them. And so it just eliminates all these. The hardest part of starting a company brand new by yourself is, that's why acquiring companies is by far more attractive. And these franchises, because they're turnkey, all you have to do is work hard, it's right there. And so in a way, you've already created the foundation of a nice little mini franchise for all these VAs coming on board, right? It takes away that uncertainty so mm-hmm. that they can really scale and be mm-hmm. effective. And I apologize, I don't remember your daughter's name, Mimi.
Annabelle.
She was like a rock star, right? Seeing right. those videos.
Well, and now, yeah. and now I've got another one of them, right? Mm-hmm. They're coming in at me and rolling uh-huh. out, and I'm like, oh,
they, yeah, they move
but
on.
But it's proof.
Yeah,
but it's also proof that the system works, right?
Right. And that's why we want to keep those procedures there, right? Onboarding, offboarding different team members. Then it gets easier and easier because everything's there. Documentation, videos, everything. So when the next person comes in, and they, if they have an emergency or life changes for them, we have an offboarding process for them.
Is there, for people, oh, did you have something to say, Juliana?
I was just going to say for the systems, so this is largely about the systems and procedures, of course, and we kind of have the ability for somebody to, at first, a lot of people wondered whether we were, you know, a resource for going and finding assistance. And that, although we have incorporated a piece of that in one of the Do For You, Do With You programs, the greater part is trying to get you up and going with your processes and procedures. Because, see, your business is different than mine, Ken, and mine's different than everyone else's that are advisors or business owners that are out there. So I just wanted to point that out. That's, you want it to be, it's unique to your business. It's critical that it's unique to your business, but there is a lot of templates that are available to adapt.
Yeah. Best way for everyone listening to reach out to you, that the Juliana Mimi Financial VA team, what's the best way for everyone to reach out to you?
Yeah, you could go to financialva.com and that has our service there.
And is there actually a telephone number too? Or
you can email, you can do the contact us. We Perfect. Could actually, there is a freebie on there that you can, it's the first three tasks that you want to outsource to your virtual assistant. So that will give you some hints on where to start.
Okay, but the easiest way to get going, to figure out which program is going to be most ideal for you, is to actually sit down and have a conversation with me. You can go ahead and schedule one that way really easily. Go to financialva.com/chat, and that'll take you straight to my calendar. And we can put that in the show notes as well to make it easy for people to be able to find it. But it's as simple as that. And we'll sit down and we'll have a chat and we'll see where you're at and where you want to get to. And figure out what the best strategy to do so is.
All right. No, yeah. That's perfect. I can tell you, for me, I'll read stuff. I'll watch stuff. It seems like a listen all the time. 2 to 3 year process. And then finally, when I'm ready, I still want to pick up the phone and talk to a human being before I pull a trigger, because I do like lifelong relationships. And so I'm glad right. that there's an opportunity so I can just meet you real quick and have a quick chat. I am very grateful for everything you guys did to help me, push me through. And I know you already knew what you guys were in for, because you deal with a bunch of me in different ways. Kicking and screaming, but thank you. Mm-hmm. And thanks for coming on the podcast. And I would encourage any advisors out there listening that feel that maybe you're repeating yourself over and over again, and it feels like a broken record. And maybe you might have had some of the same struggles that I had in the past. I would encourage you to reach out to Juliana and Mimi at Financial VA and see if they might be the right fit to help you. And you guys are awesome. Thank you. I know everyone will hear this recording during Thanksgiving break, but I hope you guys have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And thanks for coming on the show. And I look forward to seeing you guys sometime soon in person again.
All right. That'll
be fun. Absolutely. Thank you. I'm so glad that you got more quality of life back because you did it. It's awesome.
More and more.
Really happy becoming to hear that.
Thank you. I'm becoming a delegation machine.
That's awesome. Everyone have a great Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice. The content is intended for United States audiences only. Opinions expressed are as of the date of this publication, and such opinions are subject to change. Green Financial and Insurance Services Limited, Green, is not responsible for any trading decisions, damages, or other claimed losses resulting from or related to the content presented. Green makes no representation as to the completeness or accuracy of the information presented. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Forecasts are not a reliable indicator of future results. Investors should be aware of the risks associated with investing. All investments are subject to investment risk, including possible loss of capital. Investors should seriously consider if an investment is suitable for them by referencing their own financial position, investment objectives, and risk profile. Consult with a qualified financial advisor as necessary before making any investment decisions. Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.